up with this Cass and Bodge.
Happy Monday, Cassandra Ruff.
Happy Monday, Bodger. Did you hear in Lee Jolo's news just then how he was saying there was a shark sighting at Flynn's Beach? Now, I know there's lots more sharks in the ocean than what we get told about.
Yes.
But I was just a little bit concerned because I actually went swimming at Flynn's Beach yesterday at about that time.
How long did you spend in the ocean over the weekend? Because you were there after the football as well.
Yeah, I went for a swim after the football. I got told that if you do that, the cold... the cold water kind of helps soothe your muscles for the next day. And I went for another swim on Friday. I went three times.
You have become, it's like the film Waterworld.
I'm Aquawoman.
Have you seen, Waterworld. Yeah, whichever one you want to be.
Whichever one I want to go.
I don't think there is an Aquawoman. I think it's just Aquaman and a whole load of mermaids. So
I'll be a mermaid.
You can be a mermaid.
Honestly, yeah. I would be Jason Momoa's mermaid any day. Seriously.
You don't want to be Nicole Kidman, his mum?
Nah. That's weird.
Don't want to be his mum.
It's
a bit strange. Hey, look, loads to get into today. I played plumber last night and it didn't go very well. In fact, it went terrible.
Oh.
It went really bad.
I did wake up to your video this morning and I can't say it looked lovely. It didn't look
pleasant.
The
smell is still tingling around my nostrils, even though I am safe now. But you say yuck. You just wait until I tell you what's happened. It is incredible stuff. Dee McCarthy also back into this hour, and there's a bit of a PSA for dog lovers.
There is a PSA for dog lovers because there's something that some people still apparently think you can do, but I'm going to tell you it's a hard no.
One of those grey areas. Well, it's not a grey area by the sounds of it.
Oh, I'm telling you, you can't do it.
Cass and Bodge this morning on hit for Harvey Norman, Port Macquarie.
Get up with
Cass and Bodge on the Mid-North Coast hit.
Last night, I was playing plumber. I was trying to be a man. I was trying to really sort of, you know, put my stamp of authority.
Well, when you messaged me saying worst Sunday night ever, I was thinking it was going to be some drama llama thing. And you sent me this video and you were gagging in it. Yeah. And I was like,
it's on Facebook now as well.
Yes.
I thought it'd be funny.
At first, I was like, I don't know if this is pleasant because I didn't find it pleasant, but it's the sick reality of what you had to deal with.
It was, so there was a block drain. In the upstairs toilet.
Was it in the toilet? Like, is the toilet connected to the bathroom, just so I can get the visual?
It's separate too.
Okay.
Separate too, but I'm not sure how the pipes work.
Right.
Not a plumber. Now, what's been happening over the last near 2 weeks is every time I run the tap, the basin in the toilet, it'll be fine for about 5 seconds, and then the basin starts to fill up. Like there's a blockage, and I'm like, okay, well, I'll just leave that. And then what it does, it rises out of the floor.
So it comes out of the floor.
Yeah, that's where the issue was.
Oh.
That's where the issue was.
I know, but if that was happening over, I thought you meant it started coming up in the sink as well. Did it do that?
It does a little bit, yeah. So I thought, well, all right, well, I'll leave that, and I'll see whether that fixes itself. I just won't run it too much. I'll use the bathroom tap when I'm done. Not a big deal. It progressively got a bit worse, and I thought, oh, well, I should look into this. And last night it got to the stage where the water rose, and it was too much, and I was like, right, I've got to look into this because the smell was ponging, mate.
Oh,
it was getting so bad.
I can just imagine.
You can't imagine.
I can't?
You can't. I don't throw up very, very easily, and I've seven times in the last 12 hours.
You vomited seven?
Yes. Oh. Two while I was, before bed, and then five during the night because the smell seeped into my room.
What?
Yeah, because the bathroom's not too far away from mine. I don't know whose fault it is. It's just one of those things.
Did you light some matches, candles, anything?
That didn't work. And my fan just sort of circulated that air.
Yuck, Bodge.
Yeah. I don't know whose fault it is. It doesn't matter. The point is that I tried to give it a shot. I tried an old wives' tale of bicarb soda, vinegar, and boiling hot water. Did not work.
Did not work. What did you rise?
Well, it just made, there's this vinegar and bicarb soda-y water everywhere now.
And that actually smells sometimes too.
Yeah, so what I've done is I went out and I got some of that Mr. Muscle stuff because you see that stuff on the telly.
Yeah.
And you go, right, that's going to do the job. I'll pour some of that in. And they just, you see it on they've got the animation on the TV, you pour it down, and it just magically moves whatever's in the tube.
It does
down.
Look like magic.
Nothing happened. No. Oh, leave it there for 15 minutes, it says on the directions. Did that, nothing.
Nothing. There must be a huge blockage that you obviously keep. Something underlying.
I also bought a pair of long barbecue tongs because I thought if there's something in there,
you
I'll get
bought
it out.
That.
I did find, I found a doorstop down there, a little doorstop, which I thought was really weird because I think we're the first ones to live in that house. But I thought, you know, I'll pull that out. That's all good. Nothing else in there as far as I can tell. And now, because of the smell, I've had to open every window. Everything is open.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to call a plumber.
I was going to say, did you ever think last night to maybe call one?
I did when I saw our good friend Maddie at Coles. Because he's a plumber, and he actually commented on the Facebook post. He said, "I thought you had this under control. You know I'm a plumber, right?" And I'm like, "I wasn't going to say anything to him. I wanted him to think I was. I wanted him to think I was a man."
So, what are you going to do the first thing after you finish work today?
Well, the plumber will probably come round, and I'll put on that deep voice when I'm around him. Like, yeah, I had a go.
Get up with
Cass and Budge on the Mid North Coast hit.
Now, there are these humans with four legs that I love so very much.
There's what now?
Humans with four legs.
Oh, right.
Puppuccinos.
I think they're better than humans.
Yeah, me too, seriously.
Greatest things in the whole world.
And look, some people, when they're travelling with dogs, they put them outside in the tray of the ute. They put them in the back seat. And sometimes you tie them up and sometimes you don't. But there was a fellow on the Central Coast who actually got pulled over on Anzac Day, and he copped a 448 fine and lost 3 demerit points because he had his Puppuccino on his lap, leaning all over his lap, obviously, while he was driving.
Right. Yeah, don't think you can do that, can you?
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff you can't do with dogs and cars.
No, and even if you don't know the exact rules, which I'm going to be honest, I don't know the exact amount of points and the exact fine everywhere, I definitely know that that is not play on. And when LeBron, my dog, was little, he was a little rogue puppy. He obviously hadn't learned everything yet. And I was driving one day and I popped him in the back of the car, in the boot. Yeah. And lo and behold, he hopped into the front seat on my lap and fell asleep. And obviously, that's a really cute face, but it's dangerous and you shouldn't be doing that. So I was here in a crisis of conscience. So I went to the vet and I had to buy him a harness, and it actually plugs in to, like, it has a buckle and it plugs in. So
like a seatbelt.
Yeah, you literally strap in the little pup. And it was really, really cute. And honestly, now he kind of gets it, but there comes a time where you have to just say, look, I'm going to have to get a harness and put my dog there. And even though it's sad, you just got to do it because in New South Wales, it's actually the steepest fine.
Is that right? Because I always get worried when I'm driving along and I see like a tradie or someone like that, and they've got like a dog and they've got the flat top tray and they've got no sides.
Flat top tray.
Yeah, and they've got a dog.
Oh, I don't know the rule to that.
And I'm just looking at it going, what if he slips and falls off that side beat? I don't see it too often. I've seen it, I think, twice.
Oh, was he tell me he was tied up?
He's tied up, yeah.
But still, if they...
I always worry. But do you know what? I don't want to say they would know more. I'm sure that they wouldn't do it if it wasn't illegal. I mean, there's different ways to, I don't know.
So, like,
if you're a tradie and you're listening, 13, 12, 16, call us in. All right?
Call us in. My brother has a ute and he'll tie up LeBron in the back, but it does have the flaps on the side.
Yeah.
And basically, actually, I just read that 635 is the fine that you could face in Victoria. So we're the second highest. But it doesn't even matter about that. It's like if you did have an accident, hypothetically, and the dog is sitting there, that's not looking good. And I know that Puppuccinos are really cute.
Yeah.
But there comes a time that you've got to say bye-byes, put them in the harness. And, you know, for me, I always think of my dog as a human. And I feel like if you're actually buckling them in like a human, it just becomes more real.
Can you put them in a seatbelt? Like a normal human seatbelt? Is that a thing?
They'll crawl out of that.
Cass and Budge on the Mid-North Coast here.
This morning I've read an article about 5 times. It said Indonesia's 2019 elections have killed over 270 staff due to overwork.
I was wondering why you read it 5 times.
Oh, my God.
How does an election kill someone?
I mean, well, I'll tell you, because they actually had to work in pretty crazy conditions. They worked overnights, pretty hot over there, sweltering conditions. It took a pretty hefty physical toll on people, and almost 2,000 people, staff, had actually fallen ill. And they've actually counted up that over 270 election staff have actually died, which I find just mind-blowing, because they're sitting there, you think they're going to work, they think they're going to obviously come home. And obviously, I don't think there was anything suspicious with this. That's not what any of the reports are saying. But the fact that that many people have passed away from fatigue-related illnesses is pretty crazy.
That is nuts. Yeah, I often walk through like the shopping centres and things like that and go, I see people with pamphlets, and whether they're, you know, political, yeah, religious, whatever, I always avoid them because I'm like, I know they might be getting paid, but I don't want to be dealing with that.
Yeah.
So this is given, maybe they, I don't know if they're overworked or not, but this.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
There's a lot more people in Indonesia, much smaller space.
Well, they have 400 million people in Indonesia.
Yeah, that's a little bit more than us.
And half, around half, are eligible to vote. But, Bodge, the reason that they're saying that they've actually had these fatalities is because the national and regional parliamentary ballots were combined in order to save money.
Right.
This year, this is the first time it's happened. Well, I hope next year they've definitely learned from this, because obviously 270 deaths is not the way to kind of go about this.
Just do it over 2 days. Oh. If you haven't got the staff, do it over 2 days. Count and make sure you counted everything.
Even
right.
More than 2 days with the amount of people they've got. And you know what's interesting? Like, obviously, as you said before, we've got our federal election coming up.
In May, yeah.
May 18. And I just want to put into perspective for you. So they have around 400 million people in Indonesia. Half are eligible to vote. In Australia, we had, from last year, about a 96.2% of eligible voters were actually enrolled, which is a pretty good conversion rate for
that's
us.
That's better than I thought it was.
Right? Yeah. And if you go back over to America, where it's not compulsory to vote, they had about a 55% turnout. So, you know, when you see all the celebs going, vote now, I voted, you should do it. Mm. They're pretty much electing the most powerful person in the world, and a lot of people aren't even keen.
You'll love this, right? When Barack Obama was voted in, apparently that was the election with the most amount of votes ever. And that was still only 1/10 of the amount of votes that American Idol had for their grand final.
What?
I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
Oh, my God. They need to... Oh,
how
my
embarrassing
God.
Is that? The largest ever voted election was only 1/10 of what the American Idol grand final.
That's actually disgusting.
Got.
That's actually disgusting. And also, I feel like, well, the Americans should actually take a bit of a leaf from Indonesia and take their passion into it. And because I feel like if they have that many people and the conditions in which they're voting in, obviously
many,
aren't.
How many rocked up for Indonesia?
About 198 million. I know. Imagine the voting lines there. I would honestly have to take snacks. I'd have to take water. And I mean, I'd probably take some for my friend too. Let's go.
Trending now at hits.com.au. And another weekend's gone by, Cass. Another couple of days we've gone without
too long.
Like without being allowed to talk to Dean McCarthy. He's here on the line with us. Dean, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. We need to do emergency crosses over the weekend just to keep our celebrity fix.
Seriously, we actually do. And speaking of celebrity fix, I feel like we need a Keeping Up with the Kardashians update. What happened with Kimmy's baby shower?
Okay, it all went down over the weekend. It was very, very fabulous and very relaxed. It was a CBD-themed baby shower for her fourth child. CBD, by the way, is the element, the chemical in marijuana. Okay, it's like legal in America. It's totally legal over here now. Anyway, so they're making all these products from it.
Oh, my God.
So you can have, like, CBD oil, and they were all laying down on these blankets. It was very, very chill. The kids were not allowed anywhere near it, of course. They had an ice cream truck machine. Paris Hilton was there, and all of the guests were literally making their own CBD oils and leaving feeling very chill, I guess you could say.
Wow. Can't wait for baby number 5.
I wasn't expecting that. When I saw that as the little tease, I thought CBD theme. So they're going as, like, you know, a fire hydrant, a taxi, maybe a building or something like that.
I read that she was going to do this, but I didn't think she'd actually do it because she was copping a fair bit of backlash. But look, she's gone and done it.
She did it, yep.
Also, Blac Chyna. So if I was trying to explain this to Bodge, it's
going to the wrong side of the tracks
her
now.
Her brother's ex baby mama, right?
Yes.
So
Blac Chyna used to be best friends with Kim Kardashian,
yeah,
and then she had a baby to Rob Kardashian. So, and she's, you know, she's really curvy and she's kind of like, you know,
she looks like
ghetto.
Kim, yeah.
But anyway, here's the thing, right? Here's what happened. So this is just so ridiculous. Blac Chyna, okay, released a photo of what she called an acceptance letter to the Harvard Online Business School. Okay, so she was like, hey guys, I got accepted to Harvard Online Business. Here's the acceptance letter. It was like, dear Blac Chyna, congratulations, you've been accepted to Harvard Business School online. Harvard saw this and released a statement saying she did not get accepted. The letter is complete BS. It's totally made up and fake. And after some investigation, they found out she actually paid a PR agency that was going to do the course for her. And that's how she got in, and that's how she was going to complete the course. How pathetic.
Oh, my God. That is so pathetic. Do you reckon she was just doing this because Kim got into, like, doing law school?
Oh, good point. Good point.
I didn't even think of that.
See, I feel like that is such a punch in the guts. And she's like, you know what, Cam, I've got this.
See, Cass knows.
And then they caught her out for lying.
Yes.
Isn't that worse?
But it's actually so embarrassing.
See, Dean, it takes the mind of a woman to know what's in the mind of another woman. Oh, I thought I was getting close. I thought I knew. But now Cass has just thrown the gauntlet down. Oh. I didn't even think about that. Kim says she's going to, like, uni. And now
Black China. Yep. You know what, wow. Dean? I reckon keep an eye on their tweets because I feel like a Twitter war is on the horizon.
Oh, that's juicy.
Any minute now, it'll be tweeting their way.
Yep. All right, Dean, thank you so much for joining us. We've missed you. Have a great Monday.
Bye, guys.
Cass and Bodge on Hit for Harvey Norman, Port Macquarie, and Pink. I know we talked up Taylor Swift before, but let's just remember, Pink's got her new album out, doing very
well. She is firing up.
Her 8th studio album, Hurts to Be Human, which was available from last Friday. It's available now. It's doing really, really well. Oh. There's so much good music coming out at the moment. Can't wait. And you could be going, as a Hit VIP, you could be going to New York City, Cass.
Oh, yes. Madison Square Garden. In fact, you could get tickets, flights to New York, and to see Pink perform. Hit.com.au is where you need to go because only VIPs can have this opportunity.
That's true.
Pink's 8th studio album, Hurts to Be Human.
Yeah, it is very good. Hey, look, I went camping on the weekend. I know that was a bit of a shock when I came in and told you about that this morning because I hate camping.
Almost fell off my chair, mate.
I hate camping. I hate it. It's terrible. Why would you sleep outside when you can sleep in a comfortable bed?
It's exhilarating.
No, it's not.
Yes.
I feel like, because I go back in time in my mind and I remember when I didn't really have a choice and I had to sleep outside.
Yeah, so you have a bit of trauma from it.
Well, I don't know. Would you call it trauma?
Well,
I don't think it's trauma.
Ever since I've known you, you've always said, I don't like camping. Even though, like, you're in a tent, you'd have a sleeping bag or you have a swag or you have something.
I think I associate it with bad memories. I think that's how I'll put it because I was, I lived on the streets for a while. And then when I grew up, obviously, and got a little bit older, I'd go camping with different friends and something bad always happened. Oh. Either it rained so bad that we were, like, swimming in our sleep or, trees fell right near our heads, things like that. So
what?
I've always been like,
where'd you go camping?
Well, actually, that happened in Mungo Brush at Great Lakes Way year or two ago.
Oh, my
gosh. I know, terrible, right? But I went camping, Lauren and Josh, good friends of ours. Josh has got a farm at Cundabung, and they're like, come out the farm. We'll sleep out, we'll have a look at the stars, we'll have some, food over the fire. And I'm like, yeah, okay, well, we went out there, and knowing that I hate camping, I went out anyway, and I had a really good time. It was nice. It was nice to be able to see the stars.
I was going to say, that's my favourite bit. You look up and the sky is pretty much lit up. And if you're at any, like I'm from Brisbane originally, you can't go camping outside. You can't look up and see stars like you can here.
This is the thing. Even on the mid-north coast, so normally I live in Port Macquarie. Mm-hmm. And I would class this as more or less a low-light town in comparison to big cities.
Yeah.
But when you go out, and I hadn't been to Cundabung before, not that far out anyway, you could see so much more in the way of stars.
It does make a difference.
Yeah, so it was incredible. It was a great night, good friends. And I also learnt that Cundabung is, I think it's either derived or it's the actual original indigenous meaning for wild apples.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and Daryl, Josh's uncle, he was saying that they've got these trees have got little black apples on, but they're not the shape of normal apples. They're sort of, egg-shaped.
Mm.
And he said that sometimes they can be sweet, sometimes they can be a bit sour, so it was pretty cool. The only thing I was a bit upset about, and if they're listening, they'll know, is they've got a bull that rocks up every now and then on their property.
Bull?
Yeah, it just wanders in from, the next property.
How's it going?
Yeah, just go. Yeah, it's and I was really keen to see it because they'd built this bull up, and I'm like, well, where's the bull? And they're like, you'll probably see it in the morning. You probably wake up and you'll see it. Didn't see the bull.
At all.
I was so excited. I saw a whole load of animals. I heard different sounds, different animals I'd never heard before. Some sort of
weird
bird.
Get scared?
Yeah, I did get scared, actually.
What made you scared? You thought the bull was going to come up?
We're right near the train line, and about, I think it was like 3 in the morning, a freight train goes past, and and I waking up thinking it's the second coming of Christ.
Oh,
I was like,
God,
peeing my pants.
Get up with
Cass and Budge on the Mid-North Coast Hit.
The thing is, when you go through a different life experience, a lot of people like to forget about them, whether they're good or bad, or, in fact, people celebrate them. Birthdays, we celebrate, baby showers.
Yeah, I feel like
they're getting crazy.
Now that I've hit 30, unless I have children or get married, I don't think I can really celebrate too much more. I feel like I've done everything.
You've got 50 to look forward to.
Oh.
Is that too much?
Yeah, that's too much.
Look, how crazy are baby showers, though? Like, people go above and beyond. Like, as you know, that I actually helped plan one, you got to get all those balloons and it's all crazy.
Yeah. But you had an angle, though. You wanted to be godmother.
No.
So you put in extra effort.
Let's
not lie about that.
Those balloons were damn good, yeah. I will tell you.
Well, you did the trick.
Thank you. And also Christmas. I don't know, people have, like, Christmas Eve parties. Have you heard about those?
No, we just have Christmas party about a week or two before. That's
and then,
it.
Yeah, people are having the Christmas Eve party, so the night before. But also, for more, I guess, difficult times, should we also celebrate them? There's a woman over in the US who had a divorce party.
Oh, it's funny you say that.
What do you mean?
Funny you say, because it was only last night I got invited to one.
What?
In Tamworth. Yeah.
Dude, I did not know these were actually a thing yet. I thought this was a new trend.
Nor did I.
Swear to me you got invited to a divorce party.
I'll show the text messages. So, it'll be sometime in June, and I'll have to drive inland to Tamworth, which I don't really want to do.
But it's a divorce. I wonder what you do at divorce parties. Do you get the ex's face printed out and throw darts at it? Like, I don't know what you do there.
Here we go. I'm having a divorce party. My ex is finally letting me divorce him. There you go. I was like, what date? Haven't got one, probably mid-June. I was like, all right, well, let me know. I'll come for the weekend.
So I need to take notes on that. I'm so intrigued.
I'm sorry. That was just me. I'll show the text.
No, I'm so intrigued on that because this lady had a bit of a similar story. She's finally, as from 2012, getting divorced now.
Well, it does take a while. Maybe the other party's not playing ball.
Maybe they're not being very cooperative. Yeah. Who knows? But all I know is they actually got married. They decided that they were going to get hitched within the week. So it was a bit of a rushed wedding. They decided that obviously they weren't getting along and she in particular wanted a divorce. Obviously it took a lot longer, but they're having I saw the cupcakes, they've had it and it says, you know, all these kind of mean but also hilarious things. And I was thinking they should probably, for the different party things that you can do, if you're taking it back to the candy shop, pass the parcel. You could probably pass around different things that you've stolen from him. Is that weird?
Yeah. Why would you steal anything?
No. If you keep a random shirt or something, I don't know, it's a bit weird.
Oh,
but
I see. Yeah.
Maybe the wedding ring.
Okay.
And someone can auction it off.
Yeah. Trinkets won in battle.
Yeah. Yeah, Bodge.
When I was younger, whenever a girl used to leave something at my house, I'd keep it and I'd put it in a special box. And it was the, you know,
Your little Rello trinket box.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, these are the trophies. And now I'm much, much older, much wiser, much more respectful.
Well, maybe you're if you hope you never have a divorce party, but if you have a divorce party, you'll have the cabinet with all your trinkets in there.
Get up with Cass and Bodge
on the Mid North Coast Hit.
Cass.
Yes, Bodge.
The last time I cried. The last time I cried.
Was it in fact in public?
It was. It was at the cinema. It was at the cinema, and I was watching. I was watching Logan. Actually, it was right at the end of Logan. If you haven't seen it, well, that's your fault. I'm
going to
ruin it. I don't care. If you haven't seen it by now, that's your fault. You're clearly not a fan.
Don't disrespect us.
When Hugh Jackman, when Wolverine died, when he was buried, I got really sad. I got really emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone did.
Was the cinema full? Like, were there people next to you?
There was a lot of people there. There were people weeping and crying and screaming and going, oh, how could this happen? All that sort of stuff. Anyway, great film. But, yeah, I did get a little bit weepy.
Well, if a lot of people are crying, I feel like it's kind of play on. You can just be like, do you have a tissue? And you're all kind of, it's like a huge crying fest.
There were people crying at Endgame. I was like, why?
What?
Yeah.
Well, look, it's kind of like Marley and Me. Everyone cried in that.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That was like a blubbering mess in that.
I got lucky. In that, I didn't cry at that, but I cried in Red Dog.
Oh,
anything with animals, I'm gone.
Well, look, movies are a thing, and sometimes if no one else is crying, you like to just do a subtle cry so no one can really see you. But if you're a really outgoing crier, I mean, just, you know, show them your true colors.
Yeah.
I was on a plane and I had a huge cry. Like, honestly, I was listening to...
Dido or something, probably.
No, I was listening to Kendrick Lamar. Like, not even... I was trying to do everything I could.
And you were crying. He's not that bad.
No, he's awesome. I was just... I don't know why. I just had, like, an emotional time and I just started crying. Could not stop. Now, when I say could not stop, I mean the lady even had a sandwich and I couldn't even look at her.
How long ago was this?
Oh, about 6 months ago.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
So you would have been pretty new here still.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know when you can trigger point why you're crying and you're like, oh, well, I've fallen over or I've had a really bad day or whatever, I couldn't. So not only have I gotten on a plane, I was sitting next to this lady and she was, I spoke to her when I originally got on there. Then I put in Kendrick Lamar. I was reading a book and I just started crying, couldn't stop, looking out the window, thinking about life.
Wow.
No.
And you weren't listening to Dido. We can absolutely make sure of that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I was looking out thinking, okay, maybe she's going to say something. Because you know how people try and help sometimes and they're like, oh.
Yeah, it's normally out of guilt. They're like, oh, God, she's crying. I'm going to do something about
this. Yeah, do you need a tissue? No, the lady came over, the flight attendant, and said, oh, are you okay? And I was like...
Where's your mum?
No, she was like, are you okay? And I was like, yep. And then she was like, okay, you're clearly not. And then the lady turned and looked at me. And as if you wouldn't have noticed before I wasn't even being a subtle crier.
So you were crying for no reason?
Yes.
Just one of those...
Just one of those moments.
Felt like a nice cry.
I felt like a nice cry. Can I tell you something? There's something exhilarating about it, and I think it's better to do in private, unlike Cass here, who cried on a public plane in a public format. There was a lady on the opposite side of the aisle who looked at me, and she kind of gave me that, like, are you okay, little head nod. And I was like, yes, but it was just so embarrassing. So I just shut my eyes and pretended I was asleep, but I was still doing that.
Was it the furrowed brow, the sort of, like, the looking at you like, you're right.
Yeah, are you serious?
Without saying anything?
Literally that. Yeah. And I think she wanted to swap with the woman next to me because she was probably caring more about it. But I wasn't trying. And I was trying to think of happy things. Then I started put on Happy by Pharrell Williams thinking, shut up, Cass. What is wrong with you?
Because Kendrick wasn't doing it for you, clearly.
Kendrick was clearly just making me sadder. 13, 12, 16, when have you uncontrollably started crying in public? We want to know. I don't have a reason. I hope you do.
I'm just thinking about what I would do if I was sat
if you
next
saw
to
me
you.
Doing that. I'd what would you do?
Turn the volume up on my headphones.
Hey. Let's go!
Trending now
at hits.com.au.
Oh, well, sit down and buckle up. Bodge.
I'm sat down, but this chair don't have a seatbelt.
Well, somehow you need to figure it out. There is so much going on in Hollywood.
Yeah, go on.
Bodge, Adele, you know how we said last week that she broke up with her husband, Simon, which is very upsetting because they were together for around 7 years.
Yeah,
they had a child. And, oh, you know, we were all joking. Can't wait for the breakup album. Reportedly, according to the Daily Mail, it is happening.
Oh, get stuck.
It is happening. And
well, already, she's just knocked out a whole load of songs.
No, she does it when she's going through the hard times. I saw her live at a concert and she said she writes when she's going through a tough time.
Who was it that stopped writing albums because they'd done everything?
Oh, I don't know.
Lily Allen. Lily Allen stopped writing music because she said, I've got nothing else to write about.
Well, I feel like that's not very creative of her.
Well, this is true. Maybe that's the same with Adele. Maybe that's her process. Maybe that's something that makes her feel better, writing music when she's down.
Yeah, well, either way, I cannot wait for this album.
I bet it's going to be very cheery.
Very teary. It rhymes with cheery. Yeah, teary. Also, the Santa Clara Diet. If you've heard of that one, it's the Netflix series with Drew Barrymore.
It's okay.
I've seen only around 3 episodes, and it turns out that Drew Barrymore is some zombie.
Vampire.
Yeah. And she, I don't know, all the promos just have her with, like, blood coming out of her mouth. But it's been cancelled.
Yeah, it was a fun sort of vampire sort of flick. I didn't mind it.
But they do have some diehard fans that are pretty upset about it.
This is where I think Netflix puts PR out about fans being upset about it, just to see what they'll do.
Oh, yeah.
It's like when Brooklyn Nine-Nine, you know, when they got canned.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a totally different story. That wasn't a PR stunt. Sometimes when a show's not doing too well, they get canned as a, you know, like a PR stunt.
Yeah.
I've seen rumours that this is a PR stunt to try and get people involved in it, the same as some of the DC stuff that they got rid of.
Look, if that does happen, they fooled me because I feel like it's definitely cancelled because it wasn't overly popular in the huge scheme of things anyway, but I think that they did have some diehard fans. In any case... poor Drew Barrymore. Also, poor Cass, because Idris Elba is now a married man.
Oh, no.
He married his 29-year-old bride, Sabrina. And I just feel like if I was like 4 years older, 5 years older, he may go for me. Damn it.
No, there's women everywhere now and some blokes who are probably tearing up.
I honestly didn't even want to talk about it.
I didn't even know that. That is news to me.
And their wedding looks so lavish and amazing. There was a 3-day ceremony in Morocco and British Vogue shot it. And I just can't get over it because that could have been me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, there you go. Sorry, buddy.
No. That's all. And we won't talk about it again because I just want to keep living in a fantasy world. My Kitchen Rules, Matt and Luke, we spoke to them.
The blokes from Newcastle.
Exactly right.
Nice boys.
They're awesome. They won My Kitchen Rules last night. They have been crowned the kings.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't watch the damn thing. None of it. Not one episode did I watch.
Are you serious? I love My Kitchen Rules.
We bluffed our way through that. Well, I bluffed my way through that.
Don't bring me into that. No, look, I absolutely love them. Do you know how much backlash they're copping for winning?
Why?
The other two we spoke to, Ibby and Rommel.
Yeah, they were the weird ones. Didn't really get around them.
They were the very catty ones,
very
right?
Very bitchy, yeah.
Very, very bitchy. That was the grand final, those two couples, and everyone else said that the other two should have won. And I'm like, are you serious? Apparently the food was better, but mate, I feel like Matt and Luke's beef cheek with parsnip mash would have gone down a treat.
Beef cheek is beautiful. The cheek is the best part. It is absolutely the best
100%.
Part.
Well, a huge congrats to Maddie and Luke. I am very excited. I reckon they'll open a restaurant. Apparently, there's big plans too.
Oh.
Get up with Cass and Bodge.
On the Mid-North Coast.
Let's go! KFM's 5 in 10.
Very exciting. $700 up for grabs, Cass.
Oh, yes. And look, Bodge, I've got a question. And we've also got Ryan on the line. Good morning, Ryan. How you going today?
Yeah, I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We're doing all right. We'd like to give you $700 if we can.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
Yeah, okay. It wouldn't be too bad. What would you do with $700, Ryan?
Oh, bring stuff, pay bills.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's fair enough.
I reckon you've got to save at least $200 to do something fun.
Yeah, probably.
Well, I'll tell you what, Cass has got a question. Have you got a question there, Cass?
Yeah, sure, dude. So you got 10 seconds and we need 5 answers from you, Ryan. So, Ryan, can you please name for us, outside of the Marvel Universe, 5 movies that Idris Elba is in?
But who's in Elvis?
Idris Elba.
Mind blank. I'm just thinking about the one.
Cass is on one today.
I'm sorry, it's just I'm having a bad day, Ryan.
It's not your fault, Ryan.
It's not you, it's me.
Idris Elba, the beautiful black man that he is, Cass loves the black guys for no particular reason.
Stop putting words into my mouth.
He got married. He got married and Cass is really sad today, so she tailored the question around that. Ryan, it's not your fault, mate. I'll tell you, though, he's in Pacific Rim. He's in
Bastille Day.
I'm trying to think of ones outside of
Mandela.
He's in Jungle Book, did you know?
I actually didn't know that
one. Yeah, Dark Tower. And he's in...
Elvis and then Jessica Alba, so I had nothing.
Oh my God.
He's in the Hobbs and Shaw film that's coming out as well. Don't know how that's going
to
go.
I'm actually keen to see it just because he's in it. Yeah, you like Idris Elba as an actor though, Ryan?
I don't even know. I know who he is, but no, not really.
Okay, do yourself a favour and go and look him up.
Oh, come on.
You won't regret it.
Ryan, mate, she's tainted.
I need to go and have a moment. I'm so upset about this.
Ryan, thanks for playing, mate. Sorry we couldn't give you the cash. Call again, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan. Thank you.
So, $710 for tomorrow. You are off your trolley, pal.
Look, I need to take a moment. This is not a good day. I hope he has a happy marriage.
No, you don't. Crossing your fingers. You can't. No one's able to see that. Idris Elba just got married and, well done to him as well.
Yeah,
he just married the former Miss Vancouver.
Yep, I'm not salty.
No, you're very salty. You took one look at her and you said...
She's hot. I said she's hot.
I know. Hit FM. Good morning.
Get up with...
Cass and Bodge on the Mid-North Coast Hit.
Cass was an absolute superstar on the weekend for the Port Macquarie Magpies ladies AFL team in their 88-point drubbing of the Grafton... What are they called?
don't know.
Grafton footy team.
The Grafton. I said three cheers for Grafton.
Yeah. Well, do you know what?
There you go.
I did watch your first game from the boundary line. I was proud. I felt like a.
Were you being sarcastic?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Your face is saying otherwise.
I watched your game. I watched when your shoe came off. I watched. I know all your stats as well.
Oh, okay, tell me one of them.
All your stats. Okay, so handballs, zero. Tackles, zero. Kicks, one.
One?
But the one kick.
I did two.
You got one kick.
I did two kicks.
Cass, that doesn't Bodge. Count. It just didn't count. Didn't
Are
count
you going to say that that other one didn't count?
Didn't count. So you got one kick and
I set up a goal.
But it was a point that was scored. So a minor score was scored.
That's
after,
not on me.
That's okay. No, it was a score assist. Counts as a score assist. Boss Crowe was there as well because obviously his sons play for the men's team.
The guy's team. Look, yeah, Port Macquarie Magpies as a whole did really well over the weekend. Of course, I have never played AFL in my life. In fact, I used to very much dislike the sport.
Yes.
And then when I first moved to the Mid-North Coast, you, yourself and Caleb always spoke about AFL.
Yep.
And look, even though I was probably the worst on the team.
It's not about that, mate.
No, I'm telling you how I honestly feel. I honestly did have a good time and like running around and I love team sport and obviously this isn't my sport, but I feel like the fact that I won a really prestigious award just shows that there's a lot of room for improvement.
What do you mean you won an award?
Okay.
For your one kick.
Yeah. No, okay, so listen, we all went to sets after and we had some drinks and everything like that and there were some awards given out and I wasn't aware that there was awards.
They do that. Yeah, I filled out. They gave me one of the little cards to fill out. I was one of three people to figure out who was best on ground. I didn't even know that that was a responsibility on my shoulders.
The whole team did it, though,
I got given a little card. You've got to give out 10 points to however many players throughout the game and I gave my selection of 10 points to I did it in a top three sort of thing.
Yeah.
So 5 points for the best on ground, then three, and then two.
Was I any of them?
Do you know, it doesn't matter whether or not.
Oh,
I
my
think
God,
you're
you didn't
good.
Even vote for me. Wow.
No.
Wow.
No.
All right. So at the night, they were giving out awards. And of course, I did not expect an award. I voted for three different players who actually all got an award that night. So I was like, oh, must have done something right here.
Yep.
And at the end of it, the girls' presentation was almost over, and our coach Mel goes, oh, and we've got one more award here. This is the first time we've been doing these awards. It's called the Avocado Award. And my friend Jess, who wasn't on the team, actually turned to me and goes, oh, you've got this. You're the idiot. You've got this. And I was like, okay, I've only had one game. Surely some other person has done more idiot things than me.
Why is an avocado award given to someone who's not done something well?
Well,
I love avocados.
Exactly. I thought it was a good thing, right? Well, I've done something silly very well, apparently.
Yep.
As you said, I did lose a shoe and they twisted my words and they said that I went for my shoe instead of the ball.
No. You did. You stopped and put your shoe on.
No, I stopped. The shoe flung off. I thought it was dirt. Then obviously my shoe had flung off and I saw it go. I didn't go back and get the shoe. I went to try and get the ball. Obviously missed it. Nice one, Cass.
You took two steps after the shoe came off.
Bodge.
I was watching. Let me tell you what I saw.
Okay, no, I wasn't finished.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry. Oh.
Yeah. Oh. So I went and got the ball, but I actually missed it and then came all the way back and got my shoe after, but I still ended up getting the award, which I was very, very happy with, except it stunk. The avocado stunk and I had to wear it the entire night and it's currently soaking.
When you say you came all the way back to your shoe, it was two steps because I think you realised after a couple of steps it was gone and then you've got this great run where you've got your hands like Mr. Burns and you were coming over to it and you put the shoe on, didn't even tie it up properly, you just slid it back on.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's why it came
off.
Well,
there was no time to tie it back up.
But do you know what? You did play a very good game. You ran it out. That's the important thing. I was looking at the game going, at halftime, when you girls went off, Caleb and I went for a kick. I was puffed in the 10 minutes we were out just having a kick.
I know. Look, it actually is a lot of running. And can I tell you, it's like a lot bigger than what it seems. Like when you first get on there, you're like, oh, yeah, there's the forwards, whatever. Mm. No, it's like a marathon. And I reckon that you should join the Rezzies.
I don't know if I could. I don't think I could run.
I think you could do it.
I don't think so. Do you know the men's team, by the way, very quickly, they got over 250 points.
It was insane. They actually stopped scoring after a while just because, like, sometimes it just gets a bit confronting.
Really?
Yeah. Well, no, of course the points still count, but just on the board, which I don't know if I get around because it is growing, like, growing up. So, like, if we were losing that, I probably, like, obviously it's disheartening, but you just got to cop it.
I was a little bit sad for the ladies' team because they didn't score at all. And I genuinely, they came off and I thought, I watched them come off and they were in good spirits considering that they hadn't put a score up at all. And I thought, that's what sport's about.
What
you know,
I did
they're
like,
getting around each other. They're going, do you know what? We went out and had a run and that's what it's about.
Yeah, you're right.
About.
What I did like about them is they were actually genuinely a really nice team as a whole.
Yeah.
But you know what them and I both have in common is I didn't score either. So it's fine.